Well, good morning, everyone. Very glad you are here and that we can be together. I want to continue this morning looking at the kingdom of God as we have been for the past few weeks. And this is not an official quiz like I did a couple weeks ago, but I just wonder if you noticed something in the gospel reading today. Jesus says that there's something we can know about the kingdom of God. Did you pick up what it was? He said it twice. I'm sorry, Richard, just a little louder.
Whoever listens to you listens to me.
He did say that, although that wasn't quite about the kingdom of God, and he didn't mention it twice. But an excellent observation nonetheless, right? Anybody pick it up?
Come near to you.
There it is. The kingdom of God has come near. He said that twice. Say that to the ones who receive you and the ones who don't receive you. In one way or another. So we're going to unpack that, take a look at that, because that strongly implies that we are involved in showing the nearness of the kingdom of God. And we're involved with showing that nearness in two ways. Showing what it is and saying what it is. Show and tell. You know, like we're back in elementary school. Showing and telling is what it is. And it doesn't take a lot of study or memorization to do that. There's something about it that we'll see that really flows from the natural way of our lives. And basically what it is, it's showing others what Jesus has given to us and then telling others Jesus gave that to us. So, you know, forgiveness, for example, is a sign that the kingdom is near. If you offer forgiveness to somebody, you can say, well, because Jesus forgave me. So that's showing and telling. One of the things, and I've mentioned this, although it's been a few years since I mentioned it, one of the things I would do from time to time in premarital counseling is, you know, the happy couple is there getting ready for their wedding, and I would say to one, do you know what it is to be forgiven by Jesus? And you know, hopefully they say yes. They say, yes, we know what it is to be. Yes, good, very good. And I say to the other, do you know what it is to be forgiven by Jesus? So yes, no, because they didn't. I unpacked that with them and all that. The reason for that is, if you know the person you're married to is forgiven by Jesus, and you know that they know that, then you know that person is going to have a much easier time forgiving you. Because they have been forgiven by Jesus. They know what it is to be forgiven. And in that, they get power to forgive others. That's showing and telling the kingdom. Do you see how that works? Okay, I was hoping for more enthusiasm that maybe you've even experienced it, but nonetheless, consider it. You let it roll around a little bit, and we'll go with that. It flows along with what we have seen so far about the kingdom of God. The kingdom, you remember, of God is there as the desires of Jesus are received and lived out. That's the kingdom of God. It is all about the desires of Jesus, what Jesus wants. And when that is shown, when that's received, that's the presence of the kingdom of God. It's everything Jesus wants. It's always all about what Jesus wants. And what you and I are about in a Christian life is following after what Jesus wants. It's learning what Jesus wants and then living that out. That's the Christian life. And one of the things that Jesus wants is for the kingdom to be shared. And I know that some people, maybe some of us, don't like that idea, sharing the kingdom, sharing anything about our faith. It can be challenging, it can be embarrassing, it can be all kinds of things, none of which are positive on our list. But I want to show you a couple things today about what Jesus is doing in that, that may open up our view of what it is to be showing and telling what the kingdom is. Now notice that Jesus sends out the 72. And for most of us, when we see that Jesus sends somebody out and says, do this, say these things and all that, what we're thinking of is that two people would go up to one person and start talking to them. And if we were to think about it further, we might be thinking, well, okay, these two people, if they had laundromats on that day, they would go into the laundromat, wait till the person put their clothes in the washer, and then go up and start talking to them. Just things like that is what comes to our minds about what it is when Jesus says, you two go out two by two and go say and do these things. But notice Jesus doesn't really get into that very much. He says that they are to stay at a house that receives them. He doesn't say, corner a person and tell them these things. Go into the house that receives you. Very, very different from what we usually think about when we see that Jesus might want us to share something. They're to share, to demonstrate, proclaim, and generally point out the kingdom of God. There are a lot of customs and cultural practices that we read in this gospel today that are described here. And we could spend a lot of time unpacking those interesting things and seeing what they were like. But this morning, we won't do that. The core of what Jesus wants the 72 to do is the core of what Jesus wants us to do, which is to share, demonstrate, proclaim, and generally point to the kingdom of God. In other words, to show the desires of Jesus and invite people to live them out along with you. That's what it is. And what it means is finding people in your life that are positive towards you, that receive you, that don't push you away, that are just fine that you go to church and that you pray and that you believe. There's people like that around. I know that's hard to see, but there's people like that around. Let me give you some examples. There's the 72, of course. When they stayed at someone's house, what happened was the whole extended family saw what it's like to know, love, and follow Jesus. So it's not like here where it's what we call the nuclear family or maybe a couple of people living in the same house. A household in those days, you will recall, was actually a business, and the extended family lived there. And there was, a bigger business had maybe several buildings or buildings forming a U or a circle. And there'd be a courtyard where a lot of the business things took place. And everyone in the business lived there in that family. And the head of the family was the head of the business. And if the head of the family receives one of these people that Jesus sent out and then began to influence the rest of the family, then that business had a tremendous change of some kind. Usually it was some kind of ethical change or relational change, and the businesses around that business relied on would see that change in the way that they treated them, the way that they did business with them, the way that they offered credit or whatever else they had to do. And the gospel would spread over those lines from house to house, business to business, extended family to extended family. And that was because somebody in the first house thought, these two guys who just came here are all right with me. And that opened it up. The early Celtic Christians were the same. Patrick, other people who were in these Irish monasteries. Those Irish monasteries were meant to train people to relate to others. It wasn't to get people in and keep them in and keep them cloistered and never go out into the world again. It was so that they would learn how to be like Jesus with other people out in the world. And what would happen, or one of the things that they did anyway, was a group would feel ready, and they would all, as a group, go to some other village in some other place, and they would move in, and they'd live there, and they'd start working and living and making relationships and making friends. And when some of those friends then embraced the Christian faith, then some of their friends would embrace the Christian faith by the way that this original group was living. And then when there was enough people in that village who become Christians, another group from that village would say, okay, I think we're ready to go. And off they would go to some other village and do the same thing. And that's the way that we hear, that's how it happened when Patrick converted Ireland. That's how it happened. He didn't write tracts and corner people and make them listen to him and tell them they were going to hell or whatever it was. Lived the Christian life, lived in a way that showed the love of Jesus so that other people caught it. It was something that was contagious instead of debated. So how do we do it? I mean, we're not one of the 72. We're not hanging around with Patrick. We're here right now, 2022, in Goochland County, in this part of the world. How do we do it? Well, we focus on the desires of Jesus, and we do them. So what are those? What are the desires of Jesus? Just to get one thought out of the way, it is not straighten up and fly right. If that were a desire of Jesus and we had to do that to be okay, none of us would be okay. And things would be very different. These are the desires of Jesus, which I'm taking out of John the Baptist's question when he was in prison. Now, when John heard in prison that the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." What's the desires of Jesus? The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor of good news preached to them. You could add to that list from other places in the scripture. But that is the kind of thing that Jesus desires. And for us to seek first the kingdom of God is to take those desires of Jesus into our own life and live them out. Is to receive them as Jesus prompts us and equips us and teaches us and sends us, and to live that out in a way that other people see them and begin to receive them. I mean, it's just being with Jesus, getting your life into a place where you're with Jesus, and that becomes obvious. And you do things because you're with Jesus, and you want to do them because you're somebody who's with Jesus. One of the descriptions in the book of Acts of the apostles was, and it was evident that they were with Jesus. Do you see how this works? You don't have to take a special evangelism course or Bible study course. I mean, if you want to, please go ahead. It'll be a great benefit, but you don't have to do that to please Jesus so that you'll be okay. This is being with him. Getting the rhythms of our life so that we're with him, and we're with him first, and the first thing that we seek is his desires so that we can receive them and walk them out in our lives. It's knowing what they are. It's healing and restoration of all kinds. And we demonstrate that by doing certain things. For example, This is an example I've used in years past with you. I just want to remind you of it. If you're in the checkout counter, you're checking out. You didn't go to the self-checkout, but you're at the actual cash register, and there's somebody ringing your stuff up, and they say to you, would you like to add a dollar or two for whatever research? Let's say it's cancer research. And you could say yes, or you could say no, and you could say one other thing, because you feel the prompt of the Holy Spirit upon you, and you'd say, well, sure, I was wondering, do you know anybody who has cancer personally? And they might say yes. And they say yes, well, I'm concerned about that. I feel about that. I'm a person who prays every day. I'm a Christian, you know, however you want to say that. I pray every day. Can I put that person's name on my prayer list? Would that be okay with you? Well, hopefully they say yes and they tell you the name. Maybe they make up the name because they don't trust you, but okay, prayer, okay. And you put that down and you pray for them. And the next time you're at that store, you go at the same time that their shift is. You go to the same cash register and you tell that person, I've been praying for the one you've told me about. How's it going? You don't need any theological expertise to do that. You don't need any kind of degree. You don't have to memorize anything. It's just, you know that what Jesus desires is healing and restoration. And you felt that prompt when you were there, when they said, would you like to contribute for cancer research? And you received it and you lived it. That's a demonstration of the kingdom of God. When you bring boxes of cereal in here because the food pantry is running low on cereal, that is a demonstration of the kingdom of God, because it's feeding the hungry. Whenever you may have gotten that message, there was the prompting of the Holy Spirit upon you, and you bought extra boxes when you were at the grocery store, and you brought them in here, hoping that somebody is going to be able to get past their hunger because of this box of cereal. That's the presence of the kingdom of God. That's you showing and telling the kingdom of God. And there may be ways to take that further. Just as Jesus prompts, you opens the door. You receive the desires and you live them out. We've already used forgiveness as an example. Somebody offends you, and if the opportunity comes up, you let them know that was hurtful, that was awful, but I want to extend forgiveness to you. That is the presence of the kingdom of God. That's the desire of Jesus being received into your life. Now, maybe that won't work, but still you have that desire and you're living it out in some other way. Honoring other people above ourselves. Why would you do that? Because Jesus has prompted me to live according to his desires. In other words, when we proclaim by what we do and what we say, the peace of Jesus, the whole of salvation of Jesus to others, the kingdom of God is near. It's right there. For some translations, it is among you. That would be the rhythm of our lives. That would just be the way that it goes. And it would be different, perhaps, for each of us, and as simple as all that. But there it is. It's one of the very most powerful and simple ways to do what Jesus asked us to do, which is to seek first the kingdom of God. So the question you might pay attention to day by day is this: how is Jesus today asking you to show that the kingdom of God is near? Would you please stand? Well, Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done and all and are doing now and will be doing. We ask for the ability, the capacity to receive your desires and walk them out in our lives, every day of our lives, for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.